I guess we'll get started here. I actually had kind of three different directions that I was kind of working on, and I really wasn't sure which way to go, and pondered about it for a while, and decided to go with this direction, even though it's somewhat similar to what Brother Stevens did here this last weekend. But if you would, open your Bibles to the 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We're dealing with, of course, David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to start reading down in verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and I kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's bow real quick for another word of prayer. Now, Father, I ask you to give me the words that you'd have your congregation, your people, Father, to hear. I pray that it would be a help and an encouragement to some folks that are here tonight that may be struggling with some things in their life. Father, maybe just need a little boost of adrenaline and a little help in Christianity. And I pray that, Lord, you'd have your way and your will at the service here this evening. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have here, obviously, the very famous passage of David and Goliath. The kids learn it as, you know, probably as early as Mary and Jeff's class way in the back at 2 years old. And it's a great story. It's a great story. But in verse 8, Goliath says, he says, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Why are you come out to set your battle in array? And you know, that's a good question. It really is a good question. Now, you know that the Philistines are a type of the world and the flesh and the devil. Kids, you get that? That's for Teresa's class. You know, the Philistines, I mean, they fought Israel, you know, on a spiritual plane, on a physical plane, and you know, even in the physical realm as far as an army as well. That is, they're God's enemies in just about every way. And, you know, just like the Philistines, the devil, when it comes to a raging battle against you, will choose a champion to face you. Now, I don't know what the devil chooses when he decides to bring the battle array against you. I know it's probably different for just about every one of you. I mean, there may be some things that are very similar. But the devil, I mean, like Goliath there, the devil will choose out a champion, and he'll try to get to you. He'll try to get to you. And if you're like most Christians, you have weaknesses, and sometimes it seems like you're never going to get victory over them. It just seems like that's the course of how things go. And brethren, this is where Israel is at this particular place. Look at verse 16. It says, And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now, by my count, that's at least 80 opportunities that Israel had to face this battle, and they lost all 80 of them. In fact, they were too scared to even show up for the battle, really, to even try to win. They knew that if they showed up and they got in the fight, chances are they were going to lose. At least that's what they thought. That's what they thought. And what a discouraging place to be in. I mean, the fact that, you know, it was so evident that even Goliath could look out over the armies of Israel and he could see the fear and he could see the hesitation and the, I guess, just the complete lack of desire to stand up and fight the battle. And so he said in verse 8, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? What's the point? Why even show up? Why even mess with the Christianity thing that we got going on here? Why even fight the battle? It looks like the devil's going to win. It looks like Goliath is going to win. He's too big. He's too strong. He can overpower any one of us. It's hopeless. There's no point in going on with this thing that we call Christianity because my flesh is weak. And 80 days in a row now, evening and morning, I've been facing this battle and I haven't won once. And why even go on? Why even go on? Listen, it's easy. It's easy to give up. I titled this message here this evening very simple. I just titled this message, Find Your David. Find Your David. On June 26th in 1898, there was a young boy born in Virginia. His name was Lewis. And his grandfather, he came from a distinguished military family, and his grandfather had been killed riding with Jeb Stuart in a cavalry fight at Kelly's Ford during the Civil War. His grandfather was a major in the battle, and at one point, General Rosser went to look back to his grandfather, and he said to his grandfather, he said, "For God's sake, Major, help me rally the men." This was in the middle of the battle. At which point, his grandfather answered and said, "General, I think I'm killed." And sure enough, Lewis's grandfather had been hit by a cannon fire and had been practically ripped in two and was still sitting up there on his horse. And he died. He died, of course, in the battle. He died in the battle. But another interesting fact about Lewis was this. Like I said, he had some kind of strange connections here that are pretty interesting. But another family member, a cousin of his that grew up, got involved in the military, became a military leader, and somebody that you probably recognize his name, General George S. Patton, was his cousin. General George S. Patton. As you would expect, this young man grew up reading and studying military books. He used to love and he would devour G.A. Henty's books on some of the battles and the wars and things that were passed. And he too would grow up and fight, and he would face his own battles, and you and I are going to face our own battles. Listen, every day, folks, every day our flesh battles against our spirit. And it gets old. We're in 2011 now, and every day, our flesh battles against our spirit. And our mind and our heart kind of play referee and decide what the engagement is going to be like, what the battle is going to be like. And that's where we find ourselves. And I'd just like to say the first thing here tonight is simply this. You know what? Day in and day out, we will face a fight. Folks, day in and day out, we will face a fight. Just as Israel faced Goliath 40 days in a row, evening and morning, day in, day out, listen, we have to face ourselves. In addition to having to face ourselves, listen, we got to face whatever else the devil decides to throw at us. Whatever giant he decides to bring into the battle and set before us, we got to face that. And sometimes it's not an easy task. Turn to Psalm 56 very quick. You can keep your finger in 1 Samuel 17, but Psalm 56, verse 1. Psalm 56, verse 1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me." Man would swallow me up. He daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies be many. They fight against me. Listen, Israel faced that challenge, like I said, 80 times in a row. And they got to the point, folks, where they just didn't have the heart to continue fighting. Listen, I know Brother Stevens preached about this, something very similar here this weekend, but where are you when it comes to fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, seriously, we're starting a new year, right? Everybody's, you're kind of getting regrouped in a lot of areas in your life, and you're up to facing new challenges, and I don't know how many of you took the challenge to lose weight or in 2011. That's always a very common New Year's resolution. I don't know how many of you even do New Year's resolutions. But what about your Christian life? Have you slain any of your giants lately? Have you even been trying? Look at, in Psalm 56, look at verse 3 and 4. What time I am afraid, I will trust thee. In God I will praise his, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Listen, what are you going to be like in 2011? I mean, that's the question. That really is what kind of all this kind of boils down to, is what are you going to be like for the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to standing up and facing your Goliath? When it comes to stand up and doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ, will you be like Israel, afraid to even go out and fight the battle? You know, folks, sometimes we are, because sometimes it seems hopeless. Or will you, like David, face the challenge regardless of what appear to be overwhelming odds, and get out there and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, what kind of Christian are you going to be? What kind of Christian are you going to be? It's not a very complicated question. It's not a very, you know, deep doctrinal thesis or anything. But what kind of Christian are you going to be in 2011? Folks, those Jews were faced with what amounted to them, in their eyes anyway, an impossible situation. There was no way, there's no way we can defeat this giant. And yet, 40 days in a row, the Lord allowed them to go out there and have to face that day after day after day after day. And they lost and they lost and they lost and they lost. What kind of soldier are you going to be? What kind of soldier are you going to be? The second thing that I'd like to say here this evening is just simply this. Our charge, folks, our charge is to fight like many of our forefathers fought. Our charge is to fight like many of our forefathers fought. Now, I was telling you about this young man, Lewis. He lost his grandfather in one of the battles in the Civil War, but he also lost his dad, who died when he was a young boy. And so his family was, his immediate family was kind of poverty stricken, and he would hunt and try to provide for a little bit of money for his family. And like I said, he grew up kind of taking care of the family, and his mother did the best that she could. She was a Southern lady and never lost her Southern dignity, but he had to learn to fight early on to survive. And that was probably a very good thing for Lewis. He had to learn to fight early on to survive. Interestingly, during this time period of his life, he crossed paths with another relatively famous person, or descendant of a very famous person. When he was a boy, Captain Robert E. Lee, which was General Robert E. Lee's son, had kind of been reduced to kind of begging and working a farm and selling vegetables to make a scrape out a living. And his mother, out of respect for General Robert E. Lee, would always make sure that when Captain Robert E. Lee came by, she would buy vegetables and stuff from General Robert E. Lee's son. So he had a chance to make that connection and had a chance to meet General Robert E. Lee's son. And so here you have a young man. Here you have a young man that his grandfather was a major during the Civil War and was killed with Jeb Stuart. In a cavalry fight after being shot by a cannon. Cannonball wound ointment. But, sorry. But his cousin is General George S. Patton. And now as a young boy, he's running across with the son of General Robert E. Lee. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And listen, it's good. Folks, it's good to be around people that are in the battle. Amen? It's just good to be around people that are in the battle. You ask, you know, you may actually have this question run through your mind in 2011. Why should I keep going to church? Why should I keep going to church when, you know, problems seem to creep up also all too often? I'll tell you why. Because no matter what problems and failures General Robert E. Lee or General Jeb Stuart or General George S. Patton may have had, And no matter what kind of faults and failures they may have had in their personal lives and in their way, you know what? Being around those types of people will instill in you a desire to keep fighting. You say, why should I go to church where a lot of the brethren, you know, there's so many problems and a lot of the brethren are less than what I expected? I'll tell you why. Because you need to be around some people who are still in the battle. And you need to be around some people who will continue fighting. And you need to be around some people who, even though they're less than perfect, and even though they make their very, you know, very good mistakes along the way, we've all done it, you need to be in and around people that are going to fight the Christian fight like your forefathers fought the Christian fight. You can't replace that, brethren. You can't replace that. You get off out there on your own, and listen, you're not going to fight the same way that you will fight if you were encouraged by other people. And that's the danger. That's the danger. Listen, turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10 real quick here. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. The Bible just simply says this. It says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then it says, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. You know why you need to be here and in the fight? Because, brethren, listen, you're sitting here right now, and I know this guy, you know, came up with this rapture happening in May 31st or 21st of 2011, and I doubt that he's right. But if he is, good deal. But eventually it is going to happen. And you know what? Listen, we got this battle to fight. We got this flesh to face. We have our own internal struggles, and then we have the struggles of Christianity, and then we have a whole host of people who are out there in that world who are lost and who are dying and who are on their way to hell as we speak. And if they get in a car accident on their way home from work tonight or tomorrow, they could wind up spending eternity in hell burning forever and ever and ever. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes, brethren, we forget that's why we're fighting. Sometimes we get so focused on ourselves and the battles about ourselves and my failures, and every man in the camp of Israel was afraid to go out and face Goliath himself. Why? Because he was worried about himself. David walks up, and you know what David sees? David sees the battle is not about me. The battle is about my God. The battle is about our God getting the victory. The battle is about our God being, getting His due, and our God not having honor removed from Him, and some stinking Philistine out there, he's not going to defy the God, the living God of Israel. And sometimes we forget that's what the battle is all about. And it's easy to set back, and it's easy to kind of get in our own little cocoon and stay in our own little area and think that if I take a step for Jesus Christ, I'm going to get laughed at, I'm going to get ridiculed, I'm going to be uncomfortable. We forget what the battle's about because we're too worried about ourselves. It says there in verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great flight of afflictions, a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock. You know what a gazing stock is? That means everybody looked at you like you were the oddball. You know what that means? That means everybody looked at you and said, oh, she's weird. Right? Amen. That's a good thing. Ladies, somebody looks at you and says, ooh, you're weird. Hey, praise the Lord. Right? Because you got to consider the people who are saying that. All right? Guys, somebody looks at you and says, ooh, he's weird. It's probably one of our ladies. No. But listen, somebody looks at you and they think, oh, you're weird. Hey, you know what? We're supposed to be weird. Those folks in there, they said, remember back there the former days. after you were illuminated. You got this fight thing going on, and you were made a gazing stock. You know what? Don't be afraid to be weird. Stand up and be weird. I mean, have the backbone to stand up and be weird. It's okay to be weird. It really is. We forget that because we're too worried about, oh, somebody might think I'm weird. Well, amen. If they do, amen. Brethren, the battle is about our God. The battle is about our God. It's not about me being uncomfortable. David was just a young man. He walks up there. He sees this Philistine defying the God of Israel day after day after day after day. And he goes, how long has this been going on? I'm sure he's talking to his brother. How long has this been going on? 40 days he's been doing this? Sorry. Somebody's got to stop this. Somebody's got... Hey, listen, that's where we're at, brethren, in today's world. Somebody's got to stop this. Well, who's it going to be if it's not you or me? Who's it going to be? Who's going to stand up and defend our God in the sight of those people out there? Don't be afraid of being a gazing stock. You get to the point where you think your family, or whatever, thinks you're a gazing stock. You know what? Take joy in that. Count it a blessing. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. It's not going to be easy. Partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. You know what that is? You hang around people who are weird. That's a good thing. Brethren, the battle's not about us. The battle's about our God. It's about upholding the integrity of the God that created you and not letting the people that are out there walk all over Him and disgrace His name. And you know what? It's about the folks that you and I love and care, and even some folks that we don't know, that if they don't understand the battle, they're going to die and go to hell. The battle's real, I know. And you're a gazing block, and you're going to be weird. And people are going to think you're strange. So be it. You know what, gentlemen? So be it. The devil will try to stop you from fighting. Flip back to 1 Samuel 17 real quick. 1 Samuel 17. verse 33. 1 Samuel 17, 33 says, "And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Listen, Saul tried to stop David. And you know what? Someone's going to try to stop you. Listen, somebody is going to try to take away your Christianity. Somebody's going to try to stop you from standing up and having some backbone and some just good old-fashioned fortitude to be able to stand there and take a little bit of reproach and a little bit of laughter for your God. Somebody's going to try to convince you that you can't do it. You don't have the guts. You don't have the courage. You don't have the strength to stand up for your God. And you know what? If you're not careful, the majority, all of Israel except for one little boy, did. They got afraid and they wouldn't stand up. Saul, the king, tried to stop David because he didn't see that he could win the battle. Folks, don't let anybody out there, and especially don't do it to each other, don't let anybody out there take away your desire to fight for our God. David steps up and he says, I don't care. I don't care how old this guy is. I don't care how long he's been a soldier. I don't care what kind of specialized training he has. I don't care how big he is. I don't care how loud and booming and intimidating his voice is. He's defying my God, and I'm going to walk out there and I'm going to put a stop to it. That guy had some guts. I appreciate that. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And then 2 Timothy 4:8, the next verse says, "Henceforth, that is because I did all these things, because I had the backbone to stand up and fight for my God, because I didn't let a lot of people who were out there, my family, my friends, my own fear, because I didn't let them stop me from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that at that day. Not to me only, but to also them that love his appearing. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast profession, good profession before many witnesses. 1 Corinthians 9 says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Brethren, we're called to the battle. And I titled the message very simply here this evening, Find Your David. Why? Because you need to find the same thing David found. You and I need to find the same thing David found. We need to fight like our forefathers. Many of our forefathers fought in the Christian life. See, we get discouraged all too easy. It's too easy for us to be included amongst the masses of the army of Israel and see Goliath come out day after day after day, 40 days in a row, evening and morning, and listen to him and be terrified, guys. Everybody in that army was scared to go up and fight David. They were full-grown men with swords and shields, trained in the army, ready to go to battle, and they were still too afraid to get up and go fight the giant that the devil threw out in front of them. And one little shepherd boy had the guts. Brethren, that's us. Find your David. Find your David. Like I said, I don't know what the devil's throwing at you. I don't know what battles you're facing. I don't know what the Lord has intended for you in life. But I know this. I know that somehow, some way, somewhere along the line, you've got to realize the battle is not about, rather, I'm a gazing block. Or rather, somebody thinks I'm weird. Or rather, somebody thinks I'm a little too fanatical. Or rather, somebody thinks I'm, unkind. Or rather, I think I'm too afraid. That's not what the battle is about. That's just an obstacle to overcome. Those are just things you got to look at and say, oh, I just need to brush those aside and stand up for my God and do what he wants me to do. Like I said, Saul tried to stop David. You understand, the king stepped in and tried to stop David. I bet a lot of you here have got family who you're very uncomfortable with, and they don't want you to be, radical. They would just as soon you sit down, shut up, and not talk about religion. I'm sure some of you got friends that you're trying to impress and that you're worried about what they think. I'm not saying being mean. I'm just saying, folks, if you and I don't stand up as David stood up, if you and I don't find the backbone and the guts to stand for our God, who's going to do it? Amen? Who's going to do it? I mean, use wisdom, yes. Right? Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I know. Use wisdom. But you gotta develop the backbone to stand up. Can you imagine what this country would be like if we didn't have a George Washington? We wouldn't have a country, man. Can you imagine what would we have if George Washington never had the courage to stand up and take charge of that army and face what he had to face? And guys, lead others and face what they had to face. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, George Patton, where would we be if George Patton never showed up on the scene and did what he did? Right? Where would we be? Where would the United States Marine Corps be without an example like Chesty Puller? Or as he was known by his birth name, Lewis Burwell Puller. That young man, Lewis, was Chesty Puller. A general that won the Navy Cross, which is the second highest honor this nation gives, five times. It's right below the Medal of Honor. Chesty Puller. So December 8th of 1950, over in Korea, the Chosin Reservoir, Chesty Puller was sent in to get those Marines out of that frozen tundra up there. And he was sent in. It was 25 degrees below zero that morning when they got up. And they had 100 and some Marines stacked in some tents that were dead, basically frozen, stiff bodies. And he said, I can't leave those guys here. They'll keep till spring, but the dogs will get them. And so they set out to bury them. Now, the battle's going on, guys. But we're going to bury these Marines. They set out to bury them, and they get their picks and everything out. They can't break the ground. The ground is frozen solid. They try dynamite, and they just get kind of chunks. They can't break the ground to bury these guys. He brings in the bulldozers and the tanks, and they dig up the place where they used to store the potatoes. And they tear that place up, and they put these Marines down in the ground and use the tanks to basically run the ground and dirt over them. He used the tanks to bury these guys because he wasn't going to leave them that way. There was no other way. The commandant of the Marine Corps at the time had spoken about Colonel Puller. He was a colonel at the time. He said this. He said, he's about the only man in the Corps who really loves to fight. I'll go further. He's the only man in any of our services who loves fighting. You got to find your David. What would it be like to be known as a Christian who loves to fight for his God? I'm not saying being mean. I'm not saying being nasty. I'm saying somebody that has that prestige where you stand up for your God. For 2 weeks, Puller had commanded the rear of the 1st Marine Division cut off in the Chosin Reservoir. They were surrounded by hundreds of thousands of Chinese troops. And the colonel was visiting a hospital where a priest administered some last rites to a wounded Marine. And a messenger came in and said, sir, you know they've cut us off. We're entirely surrounded. And this is where the famous quote came from. And he said, those poor fatherless children, Puller said, they've got us right where we want them. We can shoot in every direction. I like that. They've got us right where we want them. There had been some last-minute reinforcements that had got sent to Colonel Puller. It was a battalion of U.S. Army troops, which fought its way through the enemy to get to them, and they took heavy losses. And the Army colonel reported to Colonel Puller for orders, and Chesty Puller said, take your position along those hills and have your men dig in. Yes, sir, was the Army colonel's reply. Now, where is my line of retreat? Puller's voice became slow and hard. I'm glad you asked me that. Now I know where you stand. Wait 1 minute. The Army officer, he took a field phone and called his tank commander. The Army officer listened to the Marine officer. He said, I've got a new outfit, Puller said. He gave its position and detail. If they start to pull back from that line even 1 foot, I want you to open fire on them. And he hung up the telephone and turned to the Army officer. Does that answer your question? You understand? Let's see, one more thing. Puller basically, he said, we're doing about face and we're fighting the other direction. He didn't call it a retreat, but they told him, leave everything there and just get out. And he countermanded the orders from his superiors. He says, abandon vehicles, they say, and destroy supplies. he said, don't leave a thing that will roll or we can carry. Take every scrap you can. We'll take out more trucks than we brought, thanks to the Army. Can you imagine going off and leaving them with the keys still in the locks? The Army had retreated and left all their vehicles there. The colonel sought his Jeep driver, Sergeant Orville Jones. He said, load up the rest of the dead and wounded, but look them over close. make sure they're Marines before you take them. And listen, this Lewis Poehler, you know what? He came from a good line. And he had people around him that had some guts. He had some good examples. His grandfather, his cousin. He read a lot of books. Listen, he surrounded himself with people who liked to fight. When he first started off as a private, and then made it all the way to Lieutenant General. Be my little general. That's 3 stars, by the way. It's a 3-star general. He started off fighting in Haiti and Nicaragua in a lot of the battles and stuff down there, and I was reading about him. And he loved to fight. I mean, he developed a reputation early on down there. They called him El Tigre, the tiger. They called him the tiger. Hey, listen, David was made of the same stuff, right? 1 Samuel 17:36, he says, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Listen, what stuff are you made of? Remember, lest you think it's unattainable for you, it's the Lord that gives you the strength to do that. Amen? It's the Lord that gives you the strength to do it. You don't need to wait till you can bench press 450 before you fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. You just got to have enough guts and say, "Lord, I am scared to death, and this giant is big. And he's been coming after me day after day after day after day, and I've failed day after day after day after day. But Father, today, give me the strength to go out to battle." That's all you need. That's all you need. You need to spend a little time on your knees, a little time with the Lord, being very frank. "Lord, I've fought this giant a dozen times this week, and I've lost every time. Today I want to win the battle." And you know what? And you go out and you find the backbone to stand up. And you don't worry about whether somebody thinks you're weird. You don't worry about what your family or friends say. And listen, you don't worry about your own fear. You step up to the plate and you say, "Lord, I'm yours. And if you want me to die out there at the hands of this Philistine, I will go die." Interpret that for you. "Lord, if you want me to go to whatever event and you want me to make a fool of myself because I say something about how I believe in God and everybody else in the room laughs at me, I'll put up with that. I'll put up with that." You see, you got to have backbone. You got to have backbone. The Lord will give you the strength. I told you, I still got one more point. I told you at my grandfather's funeral, I was really concerned that I wasn't going to be able to make it through the funeral without really just utterly breaking down. And I can't explain it, but I got there to that funeral and conducted the service, and the Lord gave me such a peace, such a calm. It scared me. Hey, listen, the Lord can do that. I didn't expect that. You know? My prayer was simply, "Lord, just help me make it through so that if I start crying in the middle of this funeral, at least they'll be able to understand what I'm saying." That's all. That's all. And the Lord steps in, and the Lord will give you the strength to fight the battle you need to fight. Listen, you may wonder what will happen to you if you actually take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody worries about that, you know. "Well, they'll think I'm weird." You may wonder. But I'd like to say this lastly, and then we'll close things down. Listen, there's coming a day when the Lord's enemies are going to cry like little sissies. Amen. You say, "Brother Grissom, how could you say such things?" Turn to Jeremiah chapter 51, please. Jeremiah chapter 51. There's coming a day when the Lord's enemies are going to cry like little sissies. I don't want to be a little sissy. Because I know who's going to win. Jeremiah chapter 51, take a look down at verse 30. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places and her bars are broken. They're going to become like little sissies. Take a look at Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19, verse 16. In that day, Egypt shall be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. Listen, folks. There's coming a day when the Lord's enemies are going to cower and they're going to cry like little schoolgirls. You and I shouldn't be afraid to stand up right now and look at them square in the eye and be considered weird by them. Their day is coming. See, we're on the right side. We're on the right side. In that day, we stand up with the Lord. We've got the strength. We've got the backbone. We've got the God of the universe. And we're standing there at parade rest, full dress blues, nice white hat, white gloves. You're standing, oh, it's awesome. And you're going to be standing there with the Lord. And listen, the devil's enemies are the ones that are going to be afraid in that day. Yeah, we face fear now because you're uncomfortable, because we forget what the battle's really about. But guys, in that day, in the end, the Lord's enemies are going to cry like little sissies. That's not for us. Our job, 2011, our job is just simply to find our David. And you know, that's different for every one of us. Some of you have been saved for a long time, fought a lot of battles, gotten kicked around an awful lot, have lost a lot of battles. And it's hard to stand up and find the backbone to stand up and continue fighting. But you have to. We're going to win. I don't want to be, you know, crying like a little schoolgirl now when the Lord's there to give me strength. His enemies will cry like little schoolgirls later. Some of you are newer at the fight. Some of you haven't had an opportunity. You're young. You're just growing up. You're just getting your kind of your foundation under you. And you're facing some challenges that you find uncomfortable, and you're embarrassed, and you're afraid, and you're thinking that, you know, people will think weirdly of you. You got a little different giant to fight, but you still need to find the backbone to stand up and fight. You still need to find the backbone. Listen, you may have doubts about it now. But I'm telling you, in the end, folks, the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. That's the end. Psalm 144:1 says, Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Psalm 35 says, Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Joshua 23:10 says, One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Brethren, 2011... Listen, it's easy, like the children of Israel, to get beaten down. Either you've seen a lot of failures, or you're facing fear, or maybe the battle's just new to you. It's easy, like the children of Israel did in that battle, 40 days and 40 nights, evening, morning, sit back and watch the Philistines come and defy our God. It's easy to fall into weakness and fear because of that. But your job is to find your David. Your job is to find your David. The Lord's there. Like I said, it's not about you bench pressing 450 pounds, then you can whoop up on Goliath. It's about learning to trust in the God that saved you and realizing what we're defending is our God's integrity and our God's honor. It's not about, rather, I'm afraid or I'm worried about what somebody's going to think about me. It's about what's right about our God. And you know what? You develop a little bit of backbone and you stand up. Next thing you know, you're going to be the one walking down there grabbing five smooth stones and walking out to face this monster of a guy with a sling. Find your David. Find your David. Hey, listen, if Chesty Poehler can do some things like that, just, you know, as a, I don't know, probably even a lost man fighting a, you know, just a national army, you and I can do some amazing things for our God. And I'd just like to say as we close for a word of prayer here, guys, day in and day out, we will face a fight. And our charge is to fight like many of our forefathers have fought. And don't ever forget, there is coming a day where the Lord's enemies are going to cry like sissies. And in that day, you want to be standing there, like I said, dress blues, hat, white gloves, nice white belt buckle, blood stripe going down the side of your trousers, standing there in parade rest. And listen, you want to be able to salute your God and know that you fought a fight for Him, because that's what it's all about. All right? So don't give up. Don't miss the fight. Face whatever fears you have, whatever battles you've lost. Get back on the horse and do it again. Get back on the horse and do it again. There's no other option. There's no other option. In the end, our God's going to win. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for a chance to open up the Word of God and just maybe go over a few things, Lord, that hopefully will help folks that are here this evening. I know that that I certainly need to be reminded of these things as well. It's too easy for us to sit back and become lazy, complacent. Father, I guess sometimes even ashamed of our Christianity. Help us to realize that the God we serve is the God of the universe. And Father, it's never wrong to stand up and do your will. And so I pray that you give us strength, give us a backbone, give us desire to serve our God the way that we need to serve Him. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. What number? Number 11. Turn your hymnals to number 11. folks, amen. Glad you're here this evening. You can be dismissed, and we'll see you on Sunday. Be dismissed.